27, 1 Samuel chapter 27. I'm going to begin there in verse 1, and I'm going to do something I'm not normally accustomed to doing. I'm actually going to hit the top of four chapters, and I think it'll definitely show you exactly what it is that I'm trying to get across to you this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 27. We're going to begin with that, and as we go through this. The very tops of these chapters, I think you'll definitely, as I said, see what it is I'm trying to get you to see this morning. I entitled this message, I Just Don't Fit. I Just Don't Fit. You know, a Christian trying to live out here in this world, it's kind of like as you've heard it said before, like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It just don't work. And we can try to make it fit and try to do everything we can to rough out the edges and try to make it fit. But, you know, the reality is that a Christian in this world just don't fit. There's so many things that are different. Our God is different. Our agenda is different. There are so many things that are different than the Christian life and the way the world's going. And so let's kind of take a look at a man this morning that was kind of going through a difficult time. And during this difficult time, he found himself out in the world, and it didn't really go the way he wanted it to go. But he just didn't fit. And not only did he not fit, but the world saw that he didn't fit in it either. And so 1 Samuel chapter 27, we're going to begin there in verse 1. And let's kind of see the beginning of this and see what's going on. The Bible says there, verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 27, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me. Seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. One of the things we see there, of course, in verse 1 is this. As we see at this point in David's life, he was anointed king by Samuel many years ago prior to this. He was already anointed king, just hadn't become king yet. He was anointed by God for the position. He just hadn't ascended to that throne yet. There was still a lot of things need to be worked out, things need to be done before he got there. But he was anointed for that position. Just hadn't got there yet. But in the meantime, as God was working in his life and preparing things and getting things ready, Saul was king. And as Saul was king, of course, he was jealous of David and many other different things too. So he had been trying to kill David, running after David, doing everything he could to really end David's life for jealousy and other things as well. And so we can see that by the time we get to chapter 27, David, he's been on the run for Saul for a while now. He's tired, he's weary, he's worn out. And in the midst of this, he has this moment, I think, just like a lot of people do. We talked a little bit before about Obadiah. He had a moment like this. We see Elijah, he kind of had a moment like this. David, he had his moments as well. And listen, we have our moments too, right? We get tired, we get weary, and things happen in our life, and frustration, aggravation, listen, discouragement, all different types of things. And sometimes we can kind of get out of the way ourselves. Now, but as we look at David here, one of the things I think I want us to see is that the Bible says that, notice what he said in his heart. He said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Listen to what he said. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Now, the Philistines here, just like the land of Egypt, Egypt is a picture symbolically of the world. And the Philistine, the land of the Philistines, in essence, really, between Israel and the Philistines are seen in the same way. The Philistines seen as godless and wickedness and idolatry and seen as also as a picture of the world itself. And interestingly here, we see that David, he's tired, he's weary, he's been on the run for a long time. He's frustrated. He's aggravated about how things is going. Hasn't everything isn't going the way he wanted it to go? Listen, have you ever had some times like that? Man, things just ain't going the way I want it to go. And we get tired and we get frustrated and the irritation and things like that. And so he began to think to himself. Notice he said there in verse 1, he said in his heart, he says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And notice and listen to what he said. There's nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the field. In other words, there's nothing better for me. What I need to do is I just need to stop fighting. I just need to quit. I just need to leave the land of Israel and not pursue this any longer. I just need to give up on that. And I just need to go down to the Philistines. I'm just going to go down there and I'm just going to live down there. I won't have to worry about running from Saul no more. I won't have to worry about my life being in danger. I won't have to worry about all these different things. But you know what? That's what the devil would like us to think. That if we leave this over here, if we leave and get out of God's will or anything like that, just because things are tough and hard, that I'll come out here in the world and it'll be just fine, not knowing the devil wants us to, not knowing that the devil is doing everything he can to hide what's actually going to happen to us when we get over here in the world. I mean, we think we're going to leave this over here because it's bad. You have no idea what it's going to be like when you get over here. I mean, you think just, we can sometimes think, man, I'm living for God and it's tough and it's hard and I'm having a hard time, or, and situations just aren't going the way I want it to be. And then we get out over here in the world, think it's going to be better over here, not knowing that it's going to be a whole lot worse over here on this side. Going to be a whole lot worse over here in the world. And so David, at this moment, because he was tired and because he was weary and frustrated and aggravated and things just weren't going the way he wanted it to go, we see that now he finds himself saying into his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. And there's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Notice what he continued to say. He says, speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek, and shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And he thought to himself, you know what, I'll just leave out over here. I'll just go over here to the land of the Philistines and I'll be okay. I'll just come out here in the world and everything will be just fine. And everything will just work out the way I need it to. It's so hard and it's so difficult over here. Listen, the world has its own set of difficulties. The world has its own set of challenges. The world has its own set of giants that you're going to have to face as well. But the devil will do everything he can to keep your eyes and your heart blind to all of that. He said there in verse 1, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. It's almost like he was acting like if he continued to stay over here living for God, continued to stay over here doing what he could to pursue God's will for his life. Now if he continued to stay over here on this side, that God wouldn't come through for him anymore. That God would just give up on him. That God would just leave him. How many times up to this point right here, and we read the scriptures even before this point, how many times before this point have we seen God come through for David? We've seen God been faithful. We've seen God come through. We've seen God save him. He even admitted to himself before we even got to this point right here in chapter 27. He had seen all the things that God had done. God had spared me from God spared me from Saul. God done this and God done this and God done. He looked back and he saw all of that. But you know what? He got in this moment in his life when he began to look around and say, you know what? One of these days, Saul's going to get me. One of these days, everything's just going to fall through and I'm going to be ruined. I just need to come over here and live in the world. Had he forgotten the kingship, the position that God had called him to? It was almost like he thought to himself, you know what, yeah, God may have called me to this position, but Saul's going to kill me before I ever get there. Listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let us never forget that if God has called us something, to something, and God is working in our life and speaking to our heart to do a certain thing, then to follow him is far greater, even in the midst of hardship and difficulty, than to get out into the world. Because I tell you what, the world, as I said already, has its own set of hardships and it has its own set of difficulties. But David here, there in verse 1, the Bible said that David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. It was almost as if he had, almost as if his heart had gotten to the point to where he had kind of given up on the position that God was calling him to in his life. Almost like he had kind of given up on continuing to follow God in that direction and was now looking to go into a different direction. He said, there's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. So shall I escape out of his hand. But yet he had already escaped out of the hand of Saul many times already. But at this moment, he felt like, if I don't hurry up and get out of this, and I don't hurry up and get over there where I'm not supposed to be. Listen, David had been fighting the Philistines. He was going to go over to the place where he had been doing everything he could to fight. He was going to go live in a place and dwell in a place where he had been doing everything he could to fight the Philistines and to destroy the Philistines. And now, for whatever reason, he's going to go over there and dwell with them and to live with them. He said, it don't make any sense. Why in the world would somebody do something like that? Why in the world would he want to go join in? Why in the world would he want to dwell? Why in the world would he want to go over to a place that he has been trying to destroy and fight his whole life? Same thing I'm trying to get you to see this morning. It makes no sense for a Christian today that just because we face difficulty and hardship over here following God and serving God, just because things get tough sometimes and maybe just because we get weary and Just because things don't always work out the way we want them to work out, that we just give up on God and say, well, I'm just going to come out here in the world and I'm just going to live over here and I'm just going to fight for the world and I'm just going to dwell over here and live with and amongst all that I've been trying to get away from all my life, but yet I'm going to go back over there. So it don't make any sense, but listen, people are doing it every day. The Bible says right here that David, shows us right here that David, he just had this low point in his life. And listen, we all have them. We all get in these places in our life where we get discouraged and we begin to wonder, am I better off just going over there to the Philistines? Am I better off just leaving all this behind and just going over there? He says, if I did this, I shall escape out of his hand. The Bible says down in verse 5, shows us, so he leaves, he goes down. He goes down to the Philistines, meets a man by the name of Achish. Notice what he says in verse 5. And David says to Achish, he's a general there in the land of the Philistines, and he says, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country. You know, it was interesting there in verse 5, David, he had done got so discouraged in his life, he said, you know what, if it seems right with you, if it's okay with you guys over here, if it's all right with all of y'all, listen, I'm going to leave all this stuff behind. I'm going to leave God behind. I'm leaving Israel behind. I'm leaving all this stuff behind. I'm leaving the idea that God's called me. I'm leaving all this behind, and I'm just going to come up here, and I'm just going to live with y'all. You know what, I'll just settle for anything. I'll just settle for anything. I mean, do y'all have something over here for me? There in verse 5, he said, just give me a place in some town in the country. I don't care where it is, as long as it ain't over there. I don't care what you're going to give me. I don't care what kind of life it is. I don't care what direction it's going, as long as it's not over here. Man, I tell you what, David was really settling for a whole lot less than what God really had for him. God had called him to be a king. God had called him to serve him and live for him. And even though he was facing difficulties and hardships, God was working, God was moving in those things, training him up for the king that he needed him to be. Listen, sometimes the difficulties and hardships that we face in life, it's not because God's trying to be hard and difficult on us. But listen, there is a time of training in our life. God has a reason why he does everything that he does. And I don't always know what it is, and you don't always know what it is. But God has a purpose and a reason to why things happen the way they go. And we don't always know what it is, but we know that God is just. And God was trying to work in David. God was trying to help David. God was trying to train David. And what God needed David to do was to learn how to be a king. And in this process, he was going to learn that. But David got discouraged, just like we can all do sometimes in hardships and trials. And he got discouraged and he began to look at the Philistines. He began to look over here to this side. He began to look over here at the world and he thought, you know what? I think I might just be better off over there. I think I'll just escape out of the hand of Saul over there. Not knowing that when he got over here, that he was going to get over here in a whole mess of people that could care less about him and can care less about his people. And so he began to eventually look at both sides and began to feel like he didn't belong anywhere. And David just didn't feel like he fed in. And so he went down to the Philistines there in verse 5. And he said, just give me a place in some town in the country. He didn't really have a care. He wasn't really concerned. He wasn't really worried. I just need some place to go just to get away from all of this. I just need somewhere to go just to get away from this calling, from these people. I just need to get away from that king. The Bible shows us there in verse 7, and the time that David dwelled in the country of the Philistines, watch this now, was a full year and 4 months. So he had been away out in the world for a while. He got out into the land of the Philistines for a year and 4 months. Done spend nearly a half a year outside of where he was supposed to be. Done spend a year and 4 months out here in the land of the Philistines, doing battles and fighting and doing all kinds of things over there. Now come to chapter 28. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days, verse 1, that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight who? Israel. And so now he's been over here with the land of the Philistines for almost a year and a half. And now the Philistines are coming together to fight against his people. Now David's got a decision to make. Am I going to fight against my own people? I mean, God called me. I was anointed by Samuel himself to be the king of Israel. And now here he is. He's done found himself so down and out and discouraged that he's done said, well, I'm just going to come over here in the land of the Philistines and I'm just not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to live over here and see what I can do over here. And now comes the day where he stands up against his own people. Stands up against the own people that he was one day supposed to be the king over. The Bible shows us there in the text, the Bible says they came together to warfare, to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know that thou shalt assuredly, that thou shalt go out with me to battle. Achish, the Philistine general, says, you will for sure come out here and fight with us against your people. Unto David, thou shalt assuredly, thou shalt go with me to battle, thou and thy men. But take a look at verse 2. Notice what David said. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. David was ready to go to battle against his own people. David was ready to fight and slay his own people. I tell you what, when you get out in the world, it don't take long for the world and the ways of the world to slowly change your life. The way you think, how you view things, and how you see things. David, still nearly a year and a half later, still seems like he has a lot of maybe perhaps bitterness, or maybe it seems like he's still very angry. He's out here living in just some place. It didn't seem like he was that concerned about it. Just out here living out in the world, living with the Philistines. Now comes the day where he begins to fight against his own people. And the general says, today you're going to come out with me to battle. You're going to fight against your own people. And David says, today you're going to see what I can do. Today you're going to see what I can do. Today you're going to see the soldier that I am. As David gears himself up to fight against his own people that God had called him to rule. It don't take long. You spend time out here in this world, as I said. You spend time out here in this world, and the world begin to have an effect on you and how you think. It'll have an effect on your heart. And it'll completely change the way you think, completely change the way you view things. That's why it's so important as God's people that we remember what the Bible tells us, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. That we live a life as a peculiar people. That we live a life that is contrary to how the world says that we ought to live. Contrary to the ideology and the views and the philosophies of this world. Because as God's people, we're a different people. And God's people are trying to live like the world and for the world. It's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It just don't fit. And we can try to make it fit, and we can try to do everything we can to make it work out, but it just don't work. But now come the day there in chapter 28 where he was getting ready to fight his own people. So the day comes, chapter 29, verse 1. The Bible says, and the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by the hundreds and by the thousands. But David and his men passed on in the reward of Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, watch this now, what do these Hebrews here? What are they doing here? As David's men, as the Israelites, as the Hebrews show up to battle, as David shows up with his men to fight against his own people, what happens? Achish and all of them, they're sitting there, the lords of the Philistines, they're all there. And when the world sees David pull up onto the scene, they look at him and they say, what is he doing here? What is he doing here? What are all these men doing here? They don't belong here. Even the world looked at David and said, they don't belong over here. David didn't have enough sense to see that, and the world did. David, at this point in his life, was so discouraged. In this point in his life was so discouraged in his heart that as he continued to think about everything that had happened in the past, he still could not get past the fact that he was still called to be the king against the people that he was getting ready to fight. And here he is, here in chapter 29, there in verse 3, as he gears up to battle and rides up on the scene. The Philistines see him and they say, what do these Hebrews hear? What are they doing here? Notice what he says. What do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or years? And I found no fault in him since he fell unto me this day. But no matter what he said, the Philistines didn't desire to have him. No matter what he said, the other Philistines didn't desire to want him around. See, David was in this place where he couldn't find where he could fit. He didn't seem like he fit over there because the king was trying to kill him and everybody else was too. He didn't feel like he fit over here because when he went over here to the Philistines, he thought everything was great. But now he rides up to battle to really show them his support. And they're all looking at him thinking, what's he doing here? So now you have David here in the middle. None of them want him. None of them want him. And now here he is. Listen, sometimes in life we feel like we're kind of stuck there in the middle. We don't feel like we fit anywhere. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do in the midst of that when we feel like we just don't fit? Well, I can guarantee you this. David fit a whole lot more over here, even despite adversity, than he ever would over there. David would fit in over here with God a whole lot more, even in the midst of challenges and obstacles and adversity, than he ever would living over there. In a world where they have false gods, in the world where it's evil and wicked, in the world over here where they did nothing but sin against God, did nothing but try to destroy God's people, how would he ever find comfort in a place over here? I mean, the world didn't even want him. Continue to read. Notice what it says in verse 4. And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return. Watch this now, that he may go again to his place. Send him on back to where he came from. We don't want him over here. Send him on back to his place. Send him on back to Israel. He don't even belong over here anyway. Achish there trying to tell him, well, listen, he's been with me. He's been with me for nearly a year and a half. He ain't never done anything. And the Philistines are over here saying, no, we don't want him over here. You send him back to where he came from. Send him back to his own place. Listen, I tell you what, you have a place. Sometimes it may feel like you don't have a place, but you do have a place. You know where that place is? That place is with God. That place is right there. That place is right there at the very throne room of the Lord. And even though things get difficult, and even though things get trying, and even though things don't always go the way we want them to go, listen, I guarantee you this, you're a whole lot better off being in God's will, serving God, being where God needs you to be, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of obstacles, than to think for one second that you'll ever find peace and safety and comfort and strength and all of that out here in this world. Listen, the devil don't want you to see that if you end up over there that things are going to be tough and things are going to be hard. Listen, things are going to be hard over there. Things are going to be hard over here. But I can guarantee you this, when you're over here, man, the mercy and the grace that God endows upon your life, but whenever you're over here, the hardships and the difficulties, how much worse it even is on you. I tell you what, sometimes we think the grass is greener on the other side, but the only reason why it is because it's supplied by septic tank. And that's the truth. We look around just on the surface and we think, oh, it's great over here. It's nice. Man, look, it's just great over here. Not realizing that the root cause of it all is things that are foul and vile. And it's hid right below the surface so that you can't see it. And the devil don't want you to see none of that stuff. And he'll do everything he can to get you out of the will of God and get you out of the place where you're supposed to be. God done called David to be the king. Was he facing challenges? Yes. Was he facing adversity? Yes. Was he facing difficult times? Yes. But God came through him every single time. God was faithful. God was there. But here in that moment, there in the beginning of that chapter, he thought, you know what? I think I'll just be better off over here. I'm getting tired. I'm getting weary. I'm getting wore out. I'm tired of dealing with all this. I'll just come back. I'll just come over here to the world. I'll just come over here to the land of the Philistines. And things will be better over here, not knowing that when you get over there, they don't want you neither. Listen, if you think for one second that the world cares about you and the devil cares about you, you're sadly mistaken. All this world cares for is to use you up and to do whatever it can do to ruin your life, do whatever it can to get you to serve them. But listen, you'll find no joy over there. You'll find no satisfaction over there. But I tell you, if you'll just stay with God, even when things get tough and things get hard, if you'll just stay where God has placed you, where God has put you, you'll definitely see that this side is so much better. The Bible says there in that text, there in verse 4, they said, tell him to go back to his own place. Tell him to go back to his own place. Well, what was the world so scared of? What was the world so afraid of? Notice what happened there in verse 4. When they said, tell him to go back to his own place, he says, which thou hast appointed him, let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary for us. Wherefore should he reconcile himself to his master? What were they afraid of? The world was afraid. The enemy was afraid he would reconcile with his master. Listen, the world don't want you to reconcile with God.
The world doesn't want you to reconcile with the Lord, with the world.
The world doesn't want you to get things right with God. They said, listen, we don't want him over here. He's a danger to us. I think when the world looked at him, the world looked at him and saw more in David than I think David could see in himself. The world looked at David and said, you know what, David don't even belong over here, but yet David couldn't see that for himself. At this moment, he was so discouraged. At this moment, he was so broken in his heart. At this moment over here, he had battled so much and done spent a year and a half part here out in the world, and he couldn't see what he needed to see. The world could see more than him than he could see about himself. And there in the text, they said, tell him to go back to his own place where you appointed him. We don't want him to come out here. Why don't you want him to come out to the battle? Because if he comes out here, he may reconcile with his master. Who is that, Saul? And they were afraid that him and Saul would be reconciled together, and then that David and his men would turn on them, and they were scared that that would happen. And they could see more in David than David could see in himself. And so they began to fear, and they began to get concerned, and they began to get worried. They were afraid that David would reconcile himself. They were afraid that David would come to the forefront of the battle and fight for his people. The Bible goes on to say there in verse 5, notice the Bible says, is not this David of whom they sang one to another and danced, as saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s? They knew what David had did to Goliath. They heard their stories. Listen, they even knew the songs. They said, this is the very same guy that slew Goliath. This is the very same guy that they wrote legends about and songs about and stories about, and the fame of him went abroad to every nation. This is the very same guy. And now you want him over here to fight with us. This guy, right, you know what they were afraid of? Not only were they afraid that he would reconcile with his master, they were afraid that he would get right with God, and they were afraid of his past victories. Because when the world looked at David, they saw what David couldn't see within himself. The world said, you know what? He's going to reconcile to God. That's what he needed to do. They were afraid of that. They were afraid he would reconcile to his master. They were afraid he would get back where he was supposed to be. They were afraid that once he saw King Saul, and he saw the nation of Israel on the horizon coming against him, that he would say in his heart, I don't need to do this. I don't need to fight against my own people. And they were worried about that. You know why? They wanted him to go back. You know why? Because listen, were they afraid of David? Yes, I do believe they were. Because I think God, because God was with him, and because God had the place that God had appointed him to. But I also think in my heart that maybe Achish and maybe some of the other ones saw, well, maybe if we can kind of keep David back from seeing God's people, maybe if we can kind of hold him back from seeing his master, maybe if we can kind of hold him back over here, then he won't be reconciled. Listen, that I'm telling you, the devil will do everything he can to keep you from reconciling to your master. The devil will do everything. Don't let him go out there, because if he does, if he sees the king, he'll get himself right back with him. Listen, the devil wants to do everything he can to keep you in the back of the line, so that you're not up there, so that you can see where you need to be. His fear, I believe, was as David and his men sit there, and they saw Israel and the flags of the nation coming their way, and they saw all the armor, and they saw all the swords and the chariots, and as David and his men saw their own people coming against them, the Philistines did not want David, as he saw that, to say in his heart, you know what? I've been wrong this whole time. I'm fighting on the wrong side. I don't need to be over here. I don't fit in with these people. They don't even want me. I need to go back to where I need to be. And the devil doesn't want you to see that. The devil don't want you to see it. He don't want you to recognize it. He don't want that notion to come into your heart that I'm sitting in the wrong place and I'm not doing the right thing and I'm not where I need to be. Listen, he don't want that. He wants you to be in the very back so that you don't see what you need to see. The Bible says there in verse 5, is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances and sayings that Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s? They were afraid of his reconciliation with God and with Saul. They were afraid of David's past victories, because I believe they knew that if David got right with God and David got right with Saul, that David would be an adversary against them. That is one thing that they did not want. And I think that is true of us today as well. Listen, I think the devil in this world knows, and the devil knows, I think, some of the capacity that we can, the power and the strength that we could have if a man would submit himself to an Almighty God.
If a man and a woman, whoever it is, if a man would submit himself to God, what God can do through an individual who would just freely submit himself to Him and let God move in their life and let God work in their life.
The world didn't want that to happen. Of course, the devil doesn't want that to happen in your life. The last thing that they want to do is for your name to be sung. Celebrations of your victories. So what does David do in the midst of all of this? The Bible says there in verse 10, wherefore, there verse 11, the Bible says that David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines. So David ended up not going. David ended up not fighting against his own people, which was a blessing. But I want you to notice an important thing as we end with the first part, a couple of verses of chapter 30. When David went back to the place that was given him, down in Ziklag, when David went back to the place out in the world, in the Philistines, when David went back to his place that was given him from the world, I want you to see how much he lost. Not only did he almost fight against his own people, but I can see that when we begin chapter 30, as he had his own people out there in the world, notice what happened. The Bible says it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So when David gets back from almost fighting against his own people, he's still out here in the world. He's still out here in the land of the Philistines. And the longer he stays out there, the more uncomfortable things get. The more he begins to lose. But he's still so disrupted in his heart over King Saul following him all these years, trying to slay him and trying to kill him. For over a year and a half now, here he has been living over here in the land of the Philistines. They give David enough to feel satisfied in his, to be content, I guess. But David knows good and well that God's called him to more than this. But he gets back home. And when he gets back home, he finds out that as his family is out in the world, that his family had been taken captive. The world took his family. And while David was out fighting against the Philistines, another army came in to take his family. Living out in the world never pays. And while you're gone and while you're away, facing other battles and other challenges, the devil has a way of moving his way in when you're not looking and when you're not paying attention, when you're busy and got many other things on your hands, to come in and take away everything that you got. And David thought a year and a half ago, that's the best place for me to be. Now here he was almost on the brink of war with his own people. I think God spared him from that. But now we see him losing everything that he's got. His whole city was burnt down. His family was taken captive by the enemy. They weren't dead, but everything he had was gone. I'm saying all that just to end it this way. In life, we face hardships and challenges, even in the Christian life. Anybody that ever promises that you live the Christian life and everything will always go the way you want it to go, and everything will always be great, has lied to you. But I tell you what, I'm so thankful that in the midst of our tribulations, in the midst of our difficulties, that He's a present help in time of trouble. I'm thankful that in the midst of all of that, that God shares His abundant grace and mercy which endureth forever. I'm thankful that in the midst of all of that, that He is that present help in time of trouble, that He is our pavilion and our shield and our buckler and our high tower, that He is that place where we can run to, our refuge. In the midst of all of that,
And when the devil gets you to thinking, you know what, I'm sure I'm having a hard time living over here. I'm having a hard time living for God. I'm doing everything I can to live for the Lord. I'm trying to put God first in my life. But yet I'm still facing this challenge, and I'm still facing this challenge. And I got this coming after me, and I got this coming after me. The devil would love nothing more than to whisper in your ear on that very day that David said in his heart, I think it's better for me just to come on over here to the Philistines. And notice in that verse, he said, speedily. You go on back to that chapter there in chapter 27. Notice what it says there in verse 1. David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape. I need to get out of this place as fast as I can. I need to get over to the land of Philistines as quick as I can. I need to get out from over here and serving God and following God. Listen, I need to get out of this as fast as I possibly can. Listen, there's a lot of people today, they are running to the world as quick as they can, because they're having problems over here, not knowing that when they get over there, their problems will even be more magnified and be greater and bigger than they ever were before. And the Bible shows us here that David said, I got to speedily get out of here. I got to get out of here as quick as I can. Listen, the prodigal son thought he needed to do the very same thing. Liquidated everything that his father gave him. The Bible says he went out there, and he went out there to the far country, and he got out there and lost everything that he had due to riotous living, and ended up down there in the pig pen and had nothing whatsoever. But one day he came to his senses and he said, you know what? I need to go back home. How much more do the servants of my father have that so much better than I? And so he ended up going back home. Listen, I'm telling you without a shadow of a doubt that if you have left this morning from this side over here to serving God and you've given up on all those things and you desire to come over here and live like the devil, live like the world, I'm telling you this morning that if you'll just open up your eyes and see that this side over here doesn't want you. They don't want you over here, and they also don't want you to see the flags of the Father. They don't want you to see the flags of the church coming. They don't want you to see the Lord Jesus. They don't want you to see the cross. They don't want you to see how good God's been. They don't want you to remember all the things that He's done. They want to keep you in the back. You go back to your own place. You go back to that little place down there in Ziklag, only to find out whenever you get down there, you ain't got nothing down there neither, because the world's done made short work of you. He's done made short work of your family. And everything that you thought was safe out in the world is now gone. The devil will have you think that your family will be okay out there. The devil will have you think, well, I'll just take all my family and we'll just go on out there and we'll just live out there. And the devil will have you think that if you just live out in the world and you just stay out there, that everything will be just fine. And he ended up losing everything that he had. As we finish up with chapter 30, verse 2. The Bible says, and he had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small. They carried them away and went on their way. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, watch this now, until they had no more power to weep. They cried, in essence, till they couldn't cry no more. Be it David and his men, David leading his men out of the will of God, thinking that it would be better for us just to come on over here and lead over here with the Philistines. And I'll just bring my family and I'll bring my kids and we'll just bring all that we have. We'll just bring them all out there in the world. Just let them all live out over there. Not knowing that when they all ended up over there, he was going to lose everything that he had. And the Bible shows us there in that text the great sorrow that they had. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. I don't know where you're at this morning in your personal life and in your walk with Christ, but I can tell you this, if you're not saved, get saved. For one second, you start facing battles and difficulties and the devil tries to tell you you're better off just living out over here. Understand the devil's lying to you this morning. He can care less about you and care less about your family. Let's pray today.
Father, as we come before you this morning, we just thank you, God, for your goodness and your blessings. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, to stay strong in the midst of our battles and the challenges that we face in everyday life. And God, sometimes things do get hard and they do get tough. But help us, Lord, to see that in the midst of our difficulties, that your grace and your love and your long-suffering and your strength can do more for us than this world could possibly ever even imagine. God, help us not to turn aside, but help us to stay strong, continue walking and living for you. Lord, I pray that it help us all today to self-reflect on where we're at and where our position is today. As the piano plays, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, the most important thing you can do is get saved. The best thing you can ever do in your entire life is come to know Christ as your personal Savior. That is the greatest thing that you'll ever do in your entire life, is settle your eternity with Jesus Christ. There is no greater person to know than the Lord. There is nothing better to possess than Christ in your life and the salvation that He provides for all eternity. Making sure that your eternity is settled is the greatest decision you'll ever make. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, nobody's looking but me and God. Would you just slip your hand up so I can see you? Anybody out there, anywhere? I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, but today is that day. I want to give my life to Him. It could be that you're just here this morning, and listen, all of us here today, we've had our battles and we've had our challenges out here in this world. Every single one of us has at some point in our life been discouraged and felt weary and tired and wondered if going in this direction that I'm going is still worth going. If living for God is still worth it. Does God still love me? Does He still care? Of course He does. We don't understand always the challenges that we face, why we face them. But I do know this, because God is good and just and His mercy endureth forever, that He knows what's best. And even in the midst of our challenges, if we'll just give Him our heart and our focus and our attention, God will see us through. If I can get everyone to stand, please. As we open up the altar this morning, if you want to come, some folks already here. Maybe you're just wanting to pray this morning that you don't end up on the other side trying to fit yourself into a place where you know you don't fit. The devil do everything he can to make us think that we can fit out here in this world when a man of God cannot do so. The world and its ideology and its belief and the devil himself is completely contrary to the nature of God. And don't you think for a second that if you get out here in this world that you'll find that peace and comfort that you're looking for. Bible says the pleasures of sin last for a season. The devil will doll it up and make it look as pretty as he can. But at the end of the day, you receive nothing but hurt and sorrow. And these men went down into the world and they left their families down in the world. And as they went out there, they came back to see that the world had came and took everything they had and brought them to a place of sorrow, so much so they even didn't even have any more power to even weep. They cried till they couldn't cry no more.
They ended up receiving what they run away from God from. They thought they'd get out in the world and everything would be fine. But that wasn't the case. Don't be deceived this morning. We face challenges and hardships. You stay the course. The Apostle Paul said himself, he said, I prayed 3 times that God would remove this thorn of the flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made known in weakness.
I'm telling you this morning, you stay strong. You stay with God. Don't get your family out here in this world, because it'll take everything that you've got
and make you cry until you can't cry no more. Follow the plan that God's laid out for your life.
Draw nigh to Him and He'll draw nigh to you. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Stay the course. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I pray the message was a blessing to you. Don't forget the stew on your way out. If you want some, make sure you grab you some on your way out the door. And thank you for being here today. Look forward to seeing you tonight. If you're able to be here, remember 4:45 for choir practice tonight, 5:45 for our prayer time, 6 o'clock for